Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 4, Transcendental Knowledge, text 37. Itaidam so smrido ganira. Basmat sat kuru terjana. Ganagni sarvakarmani. Basmat sat kuru te tata. Yata. Just as a dungsi firewood, samida blazing, agni fire, basmatsat ashes, kurute turns, Arjuna, Arjuna, jnana agni, the fire of knowledge, sarvakarmani, all reactions to material activities, basmatsat, to ashes, kurute, it turns, tata, similarly. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami to the Prabhupada. As a blazing fire turns firewood to ashes, O Arjuna, so does the fire of knowledge burn to ashes all reactions to material activities. Purport. Perfect knowledge of self and super-self and of the relationship is compared herein to fire. This fire not only burns up all reactions to impious activities, but also all reactions to pious activities, turning them to ashes. There are many stages of reaction. Reaction in the making, reaction fructifying, reaction already achieved, and reaction a priori. The knowledge of the constitutional position of the living entity burns everything to ashes. When one is in complete knowledge of all reactions, both a priori and a posteriori are consumed. In the Vedas, Brihadaranyaka Upanishad 4.4.22, it is stated, Ube uhai vaisha ete tarat yamrita sadva sadduni. One overcomes both pious and impious reactions of work. As the blazing fire turns firewood to ashes, Arjuna, so does the fire of knowledge burn to ashes all reactions to material activities. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna tells Arjuna at least to do one's duty. Shreyan svadamo viguna paradharma sunustitat shreyadharma nidhanam shreyat paradharma bhayavaha. It is better to perform one's own duty, although imperfectly, than to follow someone else's duty perfectly. Destruction, the cause of one's own duty, is better, but because to follow someone else's duty is dangerous. In other words, everyone is obliged to utilize this body for Krishna. That's utilizing this body, mind, intelligence, words, for Krishna is called one's duty. And that may take different manifestations. Sometimes it takes the manifestation of vana and ashram, and sometimes it takes the manifestation as acting in pure devotional service, utilizing everything in order to please Krishna. Vana ashram has the conception that everything belongs to Krishna and everything should be utilized under Krishna's directions, but not necessarily just to please Krishna. A pure devotional service adds on anyabhilasita shunyam jnana karma ad avritam anukulyena krishna anu Shilanam Bhakti Uttama. It should be done for Krishna to please him. Not only Anushilanam, according to authorities, but Anushilanam, Anukulyena. Should be done to please Krishna. And Anyabhilasitu Shunyam, there should be no other desire other than to please Krishna. And Jnana Karma Tadavritam, no other activity other than that which is authorized by Krishna's authorities. So that's the best way of becoming conscious of Krishna. One may become conscious of Krishna by following his instructions, and that will certainly also burn away the reactions to our fruitive activities, which manifests itself as, first of all, avidya, ignorance. We think ourselves to be something other than Krishna's servant, and that's the root cause of all ignorance. Even Krishna's incarnations, such as Sankarshan and Baladev, who's the source of all material and spiritual worlds, he thinks himself to be the servant of Krishna. And what is our position? We think we're not the servant of Krishna. We're the master. Even Baladev, who controls all the material and spiritual universes, thinks himself to be the servant of Krishna. And we think, well, we're better than Baladev. He's just our insignificant servant. So that's called delusion. So Arjuna is asking, what is the problem? Even we know we're supposed to do our duty, why don't we do it? So, Atakena Prayuktayam, Papam Charati Purusham, Anichamapi Varshneya, Balad Iva Niyojitaha. What is this force that's causing us to not do our duty? What is this sin? Papam. So, Krishna says, Kama Esha, Krodha Esha, Rajaguna Samudvavan, Mahashino Mahapapma, Vidyanaham Iha Varinam. It is lust only, Arjuna, born of the mode of passion, which is generally turned into wrath, which is the all-devouring sinful enemy of this world. In other words, there is an energy of Krishna, it's called lust, which is generally glorified in the mundane world as love. And that lust is the impetus behind all kinds of material activities. But unfortunately, when lust is mishandled, it turns into greed and then anger and furthers our delusion and our forgetfulness and loss of intelligence. But as long as people are not either following a system of elevation, in the material world there may be many systems of so-called elevation, which may elevate one temporarily. Like, for instance, if you have some problem, you may go to a psychiatrist. Usually they have no means of solving your problem, so they give you drugs so that you forget about your problem and they forget about your problem too. Otherwise, if they keep on hearing people's problems, they have to go to a psychiatrist too. Forget all the problems that they heard about. Because basically everyone has the same problem. They want to enjoy the material world and they can't do it. So even the psychiatrists have the same problem. So hearing out how everyone's a failure enjoying themselves in the material world, they get disturbed themselves. So that may be some form of elevation. For instance, someone may become a vegan. Now there's nothing in the Vedic literature about becoming a vegan. Matter of fact, becoming a vegan is probably not encouraged very much, since milk is said to be the source of intelligence. And the cow is supposed to be, cow products are valued because of the nutritional value and lead to higher consciousness, as Prabhupada writes in the Bhagavad Gita. But still, if one becomes a vegan, it's better than killing animals. Now, just becoming a vegan won't help you go back to the spiritual world. But after becoming a vegan, one becomes, somehow or another, more conscious and ultimately becomes more receptive to Krishna consciousness, then it becomes a value. Otherwise, sometimes one may become a vegan, which is better than eating meat, but one may become proud, thinking that the devotees are all fallen because they drink milk. They may even think the devotees are demons because they offer milk to the deities. So that will not be very helpful, although ordinarily it may be considered a better material platform than killing animals, especially the cow. But if one becomes averse to Krishna consciousness because of such an activity, then it's worse than other sinful activities. Because the worst thing you can possibly do is become averse to Krishna consciousness. Then you have no chance. Then you must stay in the material world. And there's no chance of elevation to the spiritual world. And anyone who doesn't become elevated to the spiritual world or on the path to doing so, his life is considered to be a failure. So sometimes there's relative elevation and degradation. Sometimes it doesn't follow exactly the same exact path that one may think it may follow or should follow. Therefore, generally speaking, the minimum is not to become a demon. In other words, if you want to elevate yourself through knowledge, don't become a mudha, or as Prabhupada translates it, the foolish, the deceitful, the atheistic, and what was the last one? Let's see, the sinful. The foolish, the sinful, the deceitful, and the atheistic. They'll never at all become attracted to Krishna consciousness. Those are the mudhas, the naradamas, the maya pratyanas, and the asarambhavam ashrityas. On the other hand, those who practice the principles of religion, which is basically to control lust, anger, and greed, which has manifested itself in animal killing, illicit sex, intoxication, and meat eating, which destroys austerity, mercy, truthfulness, and cleanliness. Without those qualities, one remains ignorant. Ignorant means one remains in avidya. There's no question of developing any real knowledge, because real knowledge is not just going to and getting academic education and be able to quote from another fool. But actually, real knowledge is to develop the qualities that will make one receptive to Krishna consciousness. That's knowledge. Knowledge is ultimately to get free from the bodily concept of life and ultimately to obtain a spiritual conception of life. That's knowledge. Everything else is considered avidya. And avidya, as Prabhupada writes in the Nectar of Devotion, people may be proud of being a professor at a university or have academic education, but they seem to be lower than even the basest people in taking intoxication, having illicit sex, meat eating and gambling, speculating. They're the leaders. So devotional service is all auspicious, and therefore by coming in contact with Krishna, with that knowledge, then one is able to automatically become a vegetarian and nonviolent and acquire qualities that are valued by sane people. Because devotional service has qualities. It's all auspicious, it's all attractive, it gives one all good qualities, and it gives one higher pleasure than material experience. Because it destroys avidya. And avidya is the root cause of sin, of wanting to work under the direction of lust, which leads to sinful activities, and which leads to sinful reactions, which leads to sinful tendencies, which lead to more sinful activities, more sinful desires, And it goes on and on and on. When one gets more and more deeply involved in the material activities, sinful activities, then one takes the lower birth in a lower species of life, where one has to live out his past karma of sinful activities that he accrued in the human form of life. All very inauspicious. But of course, knowledge, we have to understand, is knowledge of how to become, knowledge of oneself to be eternal spiritual being, knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and how to serve Him, which is bhakti. Knowledge without bhakti is like religion without philosophy. Or we should say philosophy without religion. Knowledge without bhakti is like philosophy without religion. Or, so that winds up to be speculation, which generally makes one impersonalist. Just as religion without philosophy, it makes one into a fanatic or sentimental. So we're not trying to just acquire book knowledge, we're trying to acquire knowledge about devotional service, which leads one to Krishna consciousness. And it's Krishna that burns up the reactions to all the material activities. Caused by impersonal knowledge, one may get free from a large extent of one's sinful desires, but as long as one is not conscious of Krishna, there's no bliss, there's no love and affection, which means that one will have to come back and look for it again in the material world, in material experience, because love and affection are the basic reasons why people do everything. If they can't find it in their material life, then as we always know, they find a dog to try and love, thinking that the dog actually loves me, is actually can reciprocate. Every time I come home from work, no one cares whether I'm home or not, but my dog comes and jumps on me and licks me. He appreciates me. Of course, if you stop feeding the dog, he'll probably eat you for all the love he has for you. And that type of love is probably not very desirable. You give him food and he gives you fleas. That's the loving exchange. You pet him and he licks you with his dirty tongue. But because there's some apparent affection, even the reflection of affection and love is actually interesting to the conditioned soul, because that's what the soul actually lives for. So that knowledge, that is the knowledge of devotional service, not some dry arguments. The knowledge that leads one to at least first understanding that everything belongs to Krishna. That's knowledge. When we accept that there is a Krishna, then we have to agree that everything belongs to Him and find out what He wants us to do with Him, with that. That's called karma yoga. Whether it be in the Vedic, following the Vedic system or following Krishna consciousness, it's the same thing, agreeing that we have to utilize Krishna's energies according to His directions. We find out from Guru Sadhana Shastra, and others also find out, those who are following the Vedic system, find out from Guru Sadhana and Shastra, specifically according to their psychophysical nature, what their duty is to serve Krishna, Vishnu. And then higher than that is to understand how Krishna is not only the proprietor, but He's also the enjoyer, and therefore to do things that are pleasing to Him, more specifically. And higher than that is to do it to please Him. So that's knowledge. Not only that He's the proprietor, but He's the enjoyer, that He's the friend of everyone. Then that's the fullest knowledge. That is actually bhakti. That when we engage in our activities, not only with the knowledge that He's the proprietor and we do it dutifully according to His instructions and His representatives, but also to please Him with the attitude of pleasing to Him. pleasing, with care and attention. We may not be overwhelmed with love, but if we do our activities with care and attention, with enthusiasm, determination, that these are the seeds or the basis of love. And Krishna will appreciate that, and he reveals himself proportionally, and as he reveals himself, and we develop the ability to feel his presence, then the result is we can feel the ecstasy, affection, love that is constantly, that is the nature of Krishna and the spiritual world. And then our original nature we can experience again, that's actually what we're looking for. Now we're looking for it, but we're looking for it in the desert of material existence. Well, it actually exists in the ocean of love and the spiritual existence. And that's available through the process of pure devotional service, which dutiful activities are the basis, which will lead one to become receptive to real knowledge, not academic knowledge, but what actually is real knowledge. And then when we actually apply that real knowledge in loving relationships with Krishna and his devotees, and helping the innocent and avoiding the atheists, then we can actually experience Krishna and everything in relationship to the Krishna's associates, etc., and actually come to the platform of becoming free from all of these ignorance which covers our consciousness and these tendencies for sinful activities, etc. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Yes.
Maharaj, would you say some inspiring thoughts how to change our habits, like from going to Krishna consciousness?
Change our habits? Well, the one habit we have to change is we have to pay attention to Krishna. Become conscious of Krishna. So the way of changing it, chant our rounds with attention, calling out to Krishna, read Srimad Bhagavatam Bhagavad Gita, come and worship the deities by chanting Hare Krishna in front of them, live in the temple and respect the temple as the spiritual abode, treat it as something spiritual, and serve the devotees appropriately according to the six loving exchanges. That's what Rupa Goswami has given us. Nothing's automatic. It depends upon our actual ability, willingness to pay attention and put our love and affection, care and attention into these activities. That's not automatic. That's according to a conscious decision to do so. Yeah, that's the effort. And tolerate our material misconceptions. Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. Grandaraj Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.